Good evening, everybody. All you saints, can you hear me? Go for it. Yes, yes. Okay, great. Really good to be here with you tonight. We haven't had a Greek class in, I don't know how long, at least a couple of months. But, you know, now after getting into it for about 2 years and then kind of having a pause, we have a couple of new folks in, and I learned a couple of more things in my personal study, and learned about a couple of other texts that might be helpful in learning the Koine. So as we go on, I might rather than going a lesson by lesson, I might just change up the way we go at this a little bit. Nevertheless, whatever we do, it's going to be helpful. And like tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to go over the Koine Greek alphabet. And that's really important because in just knowing the alphabet well, you can look up a Greek form, which is Greek has roots and forms. It doesn't have words. It has that's a misnomer. And so you can look up a Greek form or a Greek root by knowing the alphabet in a lexicon or in a Greek dictionary really well. And so, if nothing else, that would be good for all of us to know if you don't know that yet. And so, first off, I'm going to read a little passage from a society of languages in the world that rates that has a what they call R ratings, R1, R2, R3, and R4, as to, like, if you sitting there tonight in your thinking, how much time you want to put in on this and how good you want to be in the Koine Greek. And what this does is it kind of delineates what you can expect and at what proficiency you will end up depending upon what you put into it, okay? So I hope that made sense to you. Our level one is what they call elementary proficiency. This is what they say about it. At the first level, a person can read only the simplest written parts of the language containing the most common forms and grammatical constructions. Chances are the student will not be able to read material much more difficult than translating assignments in an elementary textbook. Heavy reliance on a lexicon or a dictionary will be normal. If this level will satisfy your needs as you define them, then mastering the Koine Greek alphabet and learning how to use some of the basic Greek study aids will probably help you more than taking additional courses in grammar. Certainly a serious layperson can achieve this level of proficiency. So if you want to get to or be at our level one, elementary proficiency, you'd have to learn the alphabet. You'd have to have a really good Koine Greek lexicon, and probably you will be. That's where you will stay in your life as far as the Koine Greek is concerned. You'll be using the alphabet, and then using the Koine Greek lexicons and interlinears and such extensively. Okay, our level number two, you know, and I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this or if you're laughing right now, but it does make sense. Our level number two is what they call limited working proficiency. It says that at second stage, a person can read uncomplicated but authentic written parts of the language that contain many common forms and basic sentence patterns. Anything more difficult will require frequent reliance on a lexicon. To achieve this level of proficiency, a student needs more grammar, more vocabulary especially, and a greater effort than R1. So At our level number two, you'll be looking at the Koine Greek New Testament, and you'll notice particular forms. You'll know what they mean. Your vocabulary will be greater than at proficiency R1, and because you'll be spending more time in vocabulary. And I have learned over the last number of months that vocabulary is big. We're going to be hitting vocabulary. I actually have another text I want you guys to get if you're interested. If you're interested in getting to our level number two, limited working proficiency. All right? Okay, our number three, level three, R3, professional proficiency. At the third level, a person can grasp the essentials of standard but uncomplicated written Koine Greek without a dictionary, without a lexicon. And so that would be quite a jump up, because you'd be reading the Koine Greek New Testament, and for the most part, you would understand and how to at least roughly translate everything you're reading. You can at least have a pretty good if all you had was a Koine Greek New Testament, you could actually make sense of it without the help of anything. Is what that means. If you are aiming at this level, you should make sure that you familiarize yourself with the special vocabulary of the New Testament. And I particularly have a text that I want, I guess Tony's going crazy here. I have another text, it's a small book, but after I get done with this explanation, I'm going to tell you about this other textbook that you should get. It you can also look at Amazon.com, and I don't know if this is going to cost you too much. It's about 100 pages, but I'll get back to that. Our level number four. Full proficiency. This is the zenith. This is the pinnacle. At the final stage, a person can read anything in the Koine Greek without a lexicon. In order to obtain this level of proficiency, one must read as much as of the language as possible. You're going to be reading Koine every day, probably. But if you have a Koine Greek New Testament, that should be to your delight. A very large vocabulary is the key that unlocks this door. That means that you work through the Koine Greek vocabulary every day. Every day you're looking at vocabulary, you're learning the vocabulary day after day. You do make time for it, whether it's a half an hour or an hour every day. That's what you do. It's like eating or sleeping. You're going to be in the Koine every day, or you should be. That's my opinion. You should eventually have a very large vocabulary. As a rule, very few people, Greek teachers included, attain such a high level. But it is a goal to be aspired to if you're ambitious enough. If you can identify the level you want to or need to achieve, you'll be better able to focus your efforts, and that's why I'm reading this. So, if you kind of remember the R levels, what we went through, then you can decide on what you want to do, and that's very important as far as you're concerned. You also will feel more positive about your achievements because they will become more evident to you. If you're not reaching for R level number four, then you won't be disappointed if you never get there. If your aspirations are really high and you want to be able to read the Koine Greek New Testament with a great deal of fluency and precision of vocabulary, you will need several years of study to get to our level number four. So I wanted to read this so that you understood what you're getting into. All right? So this isn't a wham-bam thing, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit comes down, and Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, dwells within you, and the next thing you know, you pray about it, and you can read Koine Greek on the R4 level. That will not happen. I think I could pretty much guarantee that, unless maybe Tony here is an exception. I do have a conclusion that the author of this particular book I'm reading now comes to, and I give it two thumbs way up. The conclusion reached in my studies, he states, is that a knowledge of the Koine Greek can significantly enhance your God-given ministry and your knowledge in His wonderful Word of God. That's a fact, and I'll give that two thumbs way up. No matter if you want to be at the elementary level, the limited working level, the professional level, or the full proficiency level, any part of this will increase the fullness of your knowledge in God's precious Word, the New Testament, that is. So, that having been said, I might as well list this other book down while I'm at it. I'm going to write this now, so you have time for two sips of coffee. Maybe three sips. And here it is. This is by a man named Metzger, Bruce Metzger. This is how you spell his last name. And I would recommend that it's about 100 pages, and I would recommend wholeheartedly that you guys get this text. And what this is, what this text is I'm just going to read a little bit. It's a vocabulary text of the Koine Greek New Testament. And let me just read you a little bit out of this text, and then you'll understand. Okay, he states in this text, this Metzger text, according to statistics collected by Robert Morgenthaler, the Koine Greek New Testament makes use of 5,436 different Greek forms, 5,436. More than one half of these, namely 3,246 forms, occur only once, twice, or three times in the entire New Testament. Of the remainder, about 1,100, they occur 10 or more times. All of these, with the exception of proper names, are included in the following word lists. The usefulness of these lists is obvious. By consulting them, the beginner will not, so to speak, waste his time or her time memorizing forms that occur only rarely in the Koine Greek New Testament. Did that make sense to all of you? So what this text does is it takes about one-third of the most common occurring forms in the New Testament, and it makes lists out of them. Like the first list, it has forms occurring more than 500 times, and then it lists down about 25 forms. And so if you learn those 25 forms, those forms will occur more than 500 times in your New Testament. Then the next list is forms that occur 201 to 500 times. And there's about 30 of those. And on down the line. And so if we look back at one of the comments made initially by me as far as if you wanted to reach a professional level or a awesome level, you better have a tremendous working knowledge of the vocabulary of the New Testament. And what these lists will do is they will, if you go over them, again, nobody's going to do this for you, so this opening 20 minutes here, whatever it is to kind of like set in your mind what your goals might be as far as the Koine is concerned. So rather than what? Like I do, sometimes, let's say I buy something. You know, let's say I buy a rifle. And let's say I want to be expert at that rifle, using that rifle. But I don't go out there and I don't practice enough. But I'll sit there and I'll moan and groan in my mind about how I should get out there and I should be really good at using that. But until I get out there, I can moan and groan all I want to. And so, if you don't, what I'm saying to you, it's like, or if you buy a really nice bicycle for $2,000 and it sits in your garage, and then you moan and groan and say, one day I will get out there and do that. Well, I've learned in my lifetime, you know, you don't say, one day I will do this. You get out there and you do it, and you start doing it now. And so, taking from experience to from one that moans and groans, I'm telling you this, so that you have whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out. Whatever you put in, that's what level you're going to be at. And if you only choose to be at our level number one, then you don't have to put a tremendous amount of time in, and maybe you'll be happier, I don't know. But, you know, on the other hand, I'll stop talking about that. Okay, so, all of us except for Dr. Lowe already have the Greek text from Dr. Black, and then we instructed Dr. Lowe to get it. So, turn in your text to page number one. This also includes Miss Jen. All right, and as we go, I might not read every word on the page, but here we go. Okay, on page number one, Dr. Lowe, you're just going to have to listen to this. The first step in studying Koine Greek New Testament is learning how to read and to write the Greek alphabet. Learning the order and sounds of the Greek letters will help break down the strangeness between you and the Koine Greek, and enable you to find a Greek-English dictionary, find a form in the Greek-English dictionary or in the Greek lexicon, and reveal the relationships between Greek and English. Well, all right. And then it goes on to describe how the Koine Greek came into the Holy Land, and that Koine actually means common, and that Paul used the Greek, and that the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. Then we turn the page to the Greek alphabet, all right? So now Dr. Lowe can get out his alphabet also. And then, noticing that on pages 2 and 3 we have the Greek alphabet, everybody that has the text, turn over to page 4. Okay, and you'll notice that on page 4 there are 7 what's called diphthongs, and what they are is they are specific 7 specific combinations of Greek vowels together, and they're called diphthongs, and they're found in the Koine Greek. And they should be learned. 7 diphthongs. 7 vowel diphthongs. And we'll go over those tonight. I don't know if Dr. Lowe has access to those. But nevertheless, we'll turn back. And like we said, for Dr. Lowe, he should get this textbook so that it'll be easier for him. So turning back to the to page 2, the Koine Greek alphabet, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be saying the letter, and then we are going to pronounce it. And over my studies, over a couple of years anyway, I noticed that with a couple of letters and with a couple of diphthongs, some professors pronounce them one way, some professors pronounce them another. I'm saying this in only a couple of special cases. But I suppose that what you're going to have to do then is you're going to have to take my word for it, and you're going to have to take my word that I'm out for your best interests, and that for what I studied, I'm going to pronounce them a certain way, and that these are the correct, this is the correct way to pronounce them. And so, you know, if they're, okay, you have the diphthongs, Dr. Lowe, great. And then I guess if you wanted to decide to pronounce them another way, you're going to have some real problems with the Lord. That was just a joke. Okay.
We'll just call it an accident.
Yeah, a little bit of humor there, okay? Good, thanks. Thanks a lot, Ron. Yeah, you got that, eh? So this is the way you pronounce them, and don't tell me anything different. Oh, I'm sorry. But I have to have a little humor there. So, first letter. And what you should do is that there's uppercase letters and there's lowercase letters. And you'll find that the Koine Greek New Testaments that you'll find out there are written in lowercase. So you should learn how to write and how to identify the lowercase alphabet. Okay? So the first one is alpha. It's not alpha. It's alpha. Alpha. The next one is beta. It's not beta. It's beta. Alpha, beta. The third one is gamma. Not gamma. It's gamma. Alpha, beta, gamma. You know, well, you could say, well, what's the difference between gamma and gamma? The difference is that gamma is the American lazy way of saying it. Gamma is the Holy Spirit's way of saying it. Not saying that I'm holy, but I'm saying that if we pronounce the Koine as it was originally meant to, you'll see that a lot of people are really lazy with the Koine when you hear it's spoken, or when people decide to, you know, translate English words into Greek forms, they don't pronounce them correctly. And I don't think it's a matter of intelligence. I believe that it's a matter of mental laziness. That's what I believe. Because what this language needs is a concentrated mind. And a concentrated mind is one that has energy and is not lazy. It's not blowing off things. It's getting right to the point with exactness. And that's if you wanna learn the Koine correctly, you're gonna have to have some energy in your brain and not be lazy. All right, the fourth letter, delta. Delta, Tony put that up there. The fifth letter, epsilon. Epsilon. The sixth letter is zeta. It's not zeta, like some people go, oh yeah, zeta, eta, theta. No, that's the American lazy way. It's zeta. And then the next one is eta. So you don't have zeta, eta. You have zeta, eta, and then the next one is theta. Zeta, eta, theta. I hope that didn't confuse you. We can go over this again. We're going to have questions, question period at the end of this. The next one is always mispronounced. It's EOTA. It's not IOTA. It's EOTA. So when people say, oh, I didn't have one iota of concern for that. No, well, that's the lazy American way. It's EOTA, not IOTA. The next one is KAPA. It's not KAPA. It's KAPA. The next one is LAMBDA. The next one is MU. Then on page 3, the next one is NU. The following one is C. It's like wax. C, that's it. Tony just put it up there. C. The following one is one that's always mispronounced. It's Omicron. It's not Omicron. It's Omicron. It's not Logos. It's Logos. Sincerely. If we say that Christ was the Logos, we're lazy Americans. Christ was the Logos. That is the true way of pronouncing it. O like A, correct. Logos, not Logos. And so, what am I saying? I'm saying what I'm getting at here is that if you want to recite the true-to-form form in the Koine Greek as spoken by the apostles that wrote it, then that's why we're being so persnickety. Logos, Omicron, not Omicron, Omicron. The next word is P. It's not pi. It's P. Just as iota is iota, not iota. So it's P. Some people say, oh, pi rho sigma tau. No, it's P, not pi. The next one is rho. Rho. The next one is sigma. Sigma. Thanks a lot, Tony, for what you're doing. The next one is tau. Tau. The next one is upsilon. Like, oops, I spilled the milk. Not upsilon. Not ipsilon. It's upsilon. Upsilon. The next one is phi. It's not phi. It's phi. The next one is chi. Not chi. It's chi. The next one is c. You have to put the ps like cats. C. And the final one is the long O, as the Lord is, the Alpha and the Omega, or Omega, depending upon where the accent is. All right? Now, turn over to page number 4, and we're going to be reading about, and I'll go over this alphabet again. What I'll do is I'm going to go over the diphthongs here, the Greek vowel system, and read them, pronounce them, and then I'm going to tell you about the lexicon that you should get, a lexicon that everybody should have, bar none. If you only have one lexicon, this is the one to get. I'm going to tell you about that one. Some of you might have it already. All right, you turn to page 4, and it says lesson number subsection 4. As in English, the Greek letters may be divided into vowels and consonants. Vowels are produced by exhaling air from the lung. Well, Greek has 7 vowels: alpha, epsilon, eta, Iota, Omicron, Upsilon, and Omega. Two of these are always short, two are always short, Epsilon and Omicron, and two are always long, Eta and Omega. And the three others may be long or short. I couldn't tell you, in my knowledge, how that happens. So maybe that's true, but I've never seen it, as far as being long or short. But maybe in years to come I'll learn that. But I've never seen it, as far as my knowledge. Sometimes two different vowel sounds are combined in one syllable. This combination is called a diphthong, from diphthogos. I should say diphthogos, having two sounds. Greek has seven common or proper diphthongs, four which end in iota, and three which end in upsilon. All right, so we're going to go over the diphthongs, which are a combination of two vowels. All right? The first one is alpha iota, and it's pronounced I, as in ion or age. Now, I've read texts where some authors pronounce this A as an eight, but I'm not going along with that. I'm saying for the most part, I've seen alpha iota pronounced I, as in ion. That's what Tony put up there, ion, meaning age. So alpha iota, that diphthong is pronounced I, as in isle, or as in the Greek form ion, meaning age. The next Greek diphthong is epsilon iota, pronounced a, as in eight, or as in the Greek form irene, meaning peace. So we have I, and we have a. The next Greek diphthong, where two vowels are combined, is oi, omicron iota, as in oil, or in oikos, meaning house. Correct, Tony. The fourth Greek diphthong is upsilon iota, and it's pronounced hui, as in sweet, or as in huias, meaning sun, in the Greek. The fifth diphthong is alpha upsilon, pronounced au, as in Faust, or in autos, which is the Greek form meaning self. The sixth Greek diphthong is epsilon upsilon, pronounced u, as in feud, or ulagetas, meaning blessed be. That's in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father, ulagetas, the God and Father, in Ephesians 1:3. The final diphthong is omicron upsilon, pronounced u, as in uranas, which is the Greek form meaning heaven. Alright, so far what we've done is we've gone through the complete, in all of those forms there, I mean, uranas, sonship, blessed be, very important to our calling, very important forms in the New Testament, and it just keeps on going. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put down the best Greek lexicon I've ever seen in the last, since I was in college, since 1980. All right? And here it is. If you This is a Greek lexicon, and it's the best one I've ever seen. There's a reason that makes this lexicon above others, but just for now, I'm going to put it down, and you should get it. Even if you're not going to go, even if you're not going to spend years in the Koine, if you have one lexicon for the New Testament, this is it. And so I'm going to put this down now, and then I'm going to unlock the mic, and we can have any questions, or if you want to go over anything, we can do it, or whatever you guys want.
It's a good review, Mikey. It really helps to have the words out there for the definition so that you know how the pronunciations are supposed to be.
Yeah, it seems to me, Mike, I think that's the lexicon that you told me to get. I'm obviously a babe in the Greek, but it seems to me that the first step in moving forward is memorizing the Greek alphabet, and if you don't have that down, you might not want to turn to page 4 or 5 in this book. Correct?
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Ron, and thanks a lot, Jason. That's absolutely correct. And you'll notice on. I'm sure you can pick this up anywhere. How to write the lowercase alphabet. That's seen on page 6 of your text. You got to do that. You have to learn how to do that. If you're going to say, like after tonight, if you're going to say, well, the heck with that. I'm not going to memorize this alphabet. You might as well hang it up. That's for sure. But, what I decided this time is once you guys have this lexicon, all right, we got a text, and last time, I didn't have everybody get their own lexicon. But if we do, then what I can do is we can do a little bit of practice right over the wire. I mean, we can put up a Greek form like huiothesion, and then I can say, hey, let's look it up, and then we can do that. And if we make mistakes, so what? We can correct the mistakes, and then you can go, oh man, okay, and then more practical things I'm going to try to inject into our studies. And so I really, this analytical lexicon of the Greek New Testament by Freiberg and Miller, you should get it. It's the best one to have. You're going to have to trust me on that. There's a reason for that. And eventually I'll tell you that. But at least have this one, and then we can all work in it, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, but if you don't go about memorizing and writing the Koine Greek alphabet, you might as well hang up your spurs right now.
Does anybody out here have an iPad or an iPhone at all?
Well, I'm a 15th century guy, so I do not.